Welcome to Movie Maniacs, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry discussing the greatest movies of all time and all the new films in theaters and streaming that you need to know about. Like us, rate us, share us. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry.
All right. Hey, we are back. It is Movie Maniacs after a couple of weeks off. Hey, look, there's no movie theaters open. There's no movies being released. Chuck and I took some time off for the summer. We're back with Movie Maniacs podcast here for you on the first weekend, full weekend of August. No movies in sight, no movie theaters in sight, but Chuck and I are going to try to power through here and get through some movie news for you and some untimely passes in the movie business as well. We wanted to talk about with Kelly Preston and Richard Brindley and others past couple of weeks. And Chuck, let's first off, how you been? You okay?
I'm okay. And I just want to bring out, you know, the drive-ins are open and the drive-in movie theaters are doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Having said that, and they are a nice niche, really interesting experience. A lot of people love going to drive-ins. There's some really cool ones. It's a fun family experience. Having said that, it's not going to support the movie business. You look at the top grossing movies of last week, Dave Franco's directorial debut, The Rental, was in its second week, I think it did like 317,000 in business. The week before, it did 500,000 in business. Last week, number two, was The Goonies, 150,000. 150,000, not a million, Mike, 150,000 in business. So as cool as drive-ins are, Mike, they're not even going to pay the catering bill in Hollywood. So that is problematic. Now, in terms of movie theaters being open, really – very few, if any, multiplexes open. Independent films is a handful. We are open, the theater I'm involved in, as I told you, in East Stroudsburg, the Pocono Cinema. Last week, we played two retro movies. Our attendance was a little bit better, a little bit. We played John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982, which was ultra cool watching that on the big screen, Mike, especially in our main theater one, where our screen is really big. And we also did The Breakfast Club. So some people did show up. I think one night we had like 20 for one and 15 for another, which is a big improvement, all things to consider. This week, and I watched it yesterday, Mike, we booked, and this is the first time Disney has given us the rights to an older Star Wars movie. We booked The Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
Watched it in our main theater, Theater One, which is a super cool screening room, big screen. Anybody that says that staying home watching a movie on their biggest TV screen is even remotely the same experience on a big screen at a movie theater is fooling themselves.
Right.
It was an absolute privilege to watch that movie on a movie screen.
And, you know, you bring up that movie, The Rental, and going to the drive-in and theaters to see it. It is available on VOD as well. So
we booked it this week, actually.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that type of movie. But, it looks interesting. I saw the preview for it. It does look interesting.
You know, it does feel weird. You know, everybody walks in with a mask and they buy popcorn with a mask. When they walk into main theater, they can take their mask off sitting way apart. I mean, way apart.
Yeah.
Eat popcorn, drink their soda. But, it still feels, you know, how many March, April, May, June, July, we're 6 months into this full force and it doesn't get easier.
No.
I don't think so. For me, it just feels more a little bit more dour. I don't use the word depressed. I hate to be depressed, but it feels more dour as it goes on. You know, and I know because I know the business mechanics of a movie theater because I help run one. And I say to myself, when will the industry get back to semi-normal? And I don't know the answer, Mike. We might be at least a year away. How are these theaters going to financially stay stable with no product to show, really not much of a heart to really be open because not many people are going to show up in this environment. You have thoughts on that one?
I don't know. And it's incredible because we have a lot of movie news to get to and stuff. You still hear like movie studios about productions and movies still coming out. It's like, well, can't we focus on first getting theaters back open?
Expand on what happened with Disney's Mulan.
Well, Mulan now obviously has become the latest of these big movie releases that kept getting pushed back. By the way, kind of the benchmark now is Tenet, which will get released internationally August 26th, and then eventually here, who knows when, they're saying Labor Day weekend. That's kind of been the benchmark of when.
Do you see other studios like Warner Brothers of Wonder Woman 1984 following that model?
I don't see anything happening until 2021.
But here's a question. Let me just throw this by you, and you give me your thoughts. Think about this. Disney is the pinnacle of studios, right?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, the biggest coffers, the most successful, the longevity, the power of Disney. Yet, they were not willing to hold Mulan till spring of 2021. That's a $200 million movie. That's a fact, $200 million movie. So they're going to release it on Disney Plus with a caveat.
$30.
Okay, $30 which will give you unlimited viewing of Mulan for whatever you want to watch. If you want to watch it for months, watch
you it. Own it. You own it, essentially.
Here's the thing. Two questions here. One, is that price point too high?
But
the second question, before we expand on it, the second question, which really intrigues me, is does Disney need their money back right now? Because they're not going to. I don't think they're going to recoup $200 million on Disney Plus.
No,
they need their money back right now. Where they could not wait to spring of 2021 to sit on that movie to give it a massive, you know, theatrical release. Unless the powers that be sitting at the studio like us are saying themselves in the back room, how long is this going to go on, Mike? Could this be a 2-year event?
Yeah,
could this be a 2-year event?
Yeah.
So they're saying, you know what? Maybe we'll recoup 100 million of it, 150. Maybe they could get to, I don't know. I like to see the mechanics of the business model. I'm very intrigued how this all works. How many will pay the $30? Could enough people pay $30 to equate to 200 million?
Well, there also seems you've got to worry about the shelf life of these movies as well. So, you know, one of the things they're probably worried about is the backload of other movies they need to produce. They need to get out. They'll need to release in 2021.
Will they be able to produce them, though?
Well, movie productions have restarted. Movies and TV have started shooting again. So I think that the, you know, normalcy of shooting the movies are going to happen. So you're going to have a movie that Mulan people have heard about for over a year and a half.
Correct.
You know, when you hear about a movie that long, I don't care how good it is, Chuck. You got to get it out, and you got to get people watching it. I don't know if it's going to excite as many people in August of 2021 as it would. Let's get it out in September
I think the good barometer for that model would be Bill and Ted Face the Music, because it's not a big budget movie. I don't know what they spent on it. They're going to put it in limited theaters, the theaters that are open at the end of this month. I think they
August 28th. August 28th.
Okay, well, it was September 1st. Now it's August 28th. Okay, it's a good release date, right?
Yeah.
Be mostly a streaming event. They're going to throw a little money into advertising. Keanu's going to do a lot of the circuit. He'll do the circuit. M&S, Alex Winter are going to promote it, social media. So word of mouth will be out on that one. I'd like to see the complete breakdown of Bill and Ted Face the Music. I have to believe the budget on that is less than $25 million.
Here's what I think. Movies that studios believe in and back, they're going to push. Movies that they see the dailies, they see the finished product, like Bill and Ted Face the Music. You're like, you know what? Like Artemis Fowl. Disney looked at that and said, this movie's not good enough. Let's just get it out.
What do you do with Bond? What do you do with the next James Bond?
I think you wait till you're normal with Bond, because Bond's an evergreen movie. You don't have to release that movie like a Mulan where, you know, people, you know, will get tired of hearing about Mulan, wanting to go see it. Bill and Ted Face the Music, frankly, the excitement level of this movie has waned for me just by looking at the trailers that I've seen and the cuts that I see. This movie does not look good at all, Chuck. Both actors look aged way beyond belief. And some of the jokes that I've seen, I would be utterly surprised if this movie's actually good, and it might only be able to maintain an entertainment level as a VOD. And I think the studio looks at that and says, look, we see this movie. Even if this was the middle of summer, we might have dodged a bullet having to release this in theaters. Let's get it out on VOD.
Maybe.
It just,
I don't think they're going to lose. They're not losing sweat over that. They're more, you know, when you start getting $150, $200 million movies,
it's Tenet.
It's more problematic.
Tenet is
you got to really give some thought.
Tenet is Tenet is the patient zero of what's going on in movie theaters. That's the one you can keep an eye on. That'll be the linchpin of everything else that happens in theaters. I think Mulan, you know, $30 is ridiculous. I get it. You'll own it at that point, but
it's way too much.
It's way too much.
What's
money.
The price point? I say, honestly, $19.99. You go above that, you're asking for trouble.
I agree. I think if they went $20.
I deal with price points. I know the psychology of price points.
I think if they went $20.
Everybody I told a story to Mulan, I said $30. You know what their reaction was?
Forget it.
I ain't paying that.
We did it on we did it as a news story on the air, and I actually said I'm not paying. Now $20, I would actually say $20 and you don't own it is a better price point.
$19.99. You gotta have that psychological $19.99.
Yeah.
Really the best price point is $9.99. You'll have a stream of people buying $9.99.
That is absolutely
but that's not enough for them. They need more.
But my own personal price point is $5.99. I'm not going to pay for anything over $5.99. I'm not. It's just not going to happen. So that, you know, you could release anything you want, unless it's something, you know, like James Bond comes out. Yes, right. Of course. But I'm not going to pay the rental. I'm not paying more than like You Should Have Gone Home or whatever. Hell.
I just want to go back to when I watched Empire Strikes Back on a big screen. We got to get these movies back.
There's no doubt about it. I mean,
I'm speaking to some naysayers, and they say, oh, you know, the theater experience, it had its day and it's dead and we got to accept streaming. No.
I disagree. I think it will change the industry, though, as far as the amount of theaters.
Listen, when COVID goes, when COVID goes away,
yeah,
people are coming back to them.
Yes,
people,
they will.
It is Americana. It's a Friday night, Saturday night date. It's a way families connect. It's still a collective experience. People
will
come back to movie theaters.
We're just
in a very bizarre world right now.
That's like saying that people aren't going to go back to baseball games again and then the football games. They're gonna. They will.
Unless you're a Met fan.
Unless you're a Met fan and there's nothing to see.
Let me ask a question. I know this is a movie show, but how in the world are the Marlins 7-1?
Chuck, we'll talk about some movie news here, but before we do that, let's just remember a couple of actors and actresses that passed away this past couple of weeks. And first and foremost, a couple of weeks ago, Kelly Preston at the age of 57, a beautiful, dynamic actress, really didn't work as much as she probably could have because she was very appealing on screen. You know, when I first heard of it, the first movie that I popped into my mind was Jerry Maguire. Even the scene, she's not in it a lot, but the couple of scenes she has with Tom Cruise are very effective, very realistic portrait of a powerful female in the workplace. I thought she was fantastic in that, but she's done a whole heck of a lot. A lot of times cast as the girlfriend or wife, but
yeah, I mean, for the love of the game with Kevin Costner, that was
great,
a big role for her.
It's a good role for her. Yeah. And then, you know, you go back.
I remember her from a movie called Mischief with Catherine Mary Stewart and an actor named Doug McKeon.
Let's not forget for the kids, too. She is the mom in Cat in the Hat. That was a big movie for her as well. She did a lot of really good work. And although she did play Gotti's wife with John Travolta with her husband, I think she got off the rails a little bit. God bless him, John Travolta. But overall, very great, underrated actress, I think, Chuck, because she just didn't, you know, she's also the comic center point of Twins. Remember, she's one of the girlfriends in Twins.
Listen, anybody you hear, you know, passing away in their 50s, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Now, an actor who had a decent run at 85 and always looked 85 on screen, let's face it, even in Cocoon, Wilford Brimley. Now, we probably could do a show on Wilford Brimley, Chuck, all joking aside. Because you'd say Wilford Brimley, automatically two roles, The Natural and Cocoon pop up in my mind and that. But he really has done a lot. And we joke a lot about Hard Target, Uncle Duvet, you know, riding on horseback, shooting bow and arrows at the age of 75. But the guy has done so much good work. And his fate in The Thing. Don't forget, he's one of the guys in
Listen,
The Thing.
I think The Thing, if I read right, was his first theatrical film. Was it the 80s?
It might have been. Yeah, maybe. Right. He did a lot of TV stuff. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. When was The China Syndrome? No,
he did. He did The China Syndrome and Electric Horseman in the same year.
Okay. Now, he was the quintessential character actor Yeah, he's never going to star in Die Hard, obviously.
No.
But when he was in a movie, he made that movie better. He's a fantastic, like, he just blended into whatever role he was playing, made the movie better, had a unique screen presence, and even, like, in a movie like The Thing, he's so good in that movie.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And China Syndrome, he's so good. His scenes with Jack Lemmon, you know.
He's so good in that
guy. He's torn between a heart, you know, like the average person in a difficult situation and the politics get involved. He played that beautifully.
He's so good in that movie that you think that they casted him at the site. Like they looked around who could be an actor in this movie. You know, he worked there already. He's so good in that movie. And let's not forget how
character actors really are the heart of the business.
And then he went against.
It's not this movie star. It's always because those actors around the movie star, you just take it for granted. They're just so damn good.
Well, think about the role he took in The Firm too. He goes totally against type. He plays a hitman after Tom Cruise. He's sinister in that movie, Chuck. And then he turns around and he plays the father in In-N-Out, one of the funnier movies in the 90s with Kevin Kline, who he's really – Debbie Reynolds is his wife. Great casting there. At 85 years old, and we haven't even brought up the fact that, you know, he co-starred in that TV series with Deidre Hall back in the day, Our House, and he does all those diabetes commercials. And almost, unfortunately – his legacy becomes those diabetes commercials.
In some ways. Or Quaker Oats, right? Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats, yeah. Great guy. And the scary thing is he was the same age as me when he filmed The Natural. And
Didn't more hair, though.
I don't think so. He didn't have too much more hair than I do.
I think you do more sit-ups than him, though.
Yeah, probably. Chuck, let's talk about some movie news. The big news that came out most recently, Ben Affleck is going to write and direct a movie about the making of Chinatown. The classic Paramount movie with Jack Nicholson. I wonder if the two Jakes will come up at all. But, you know, like I said, we're talking about movie news, and who the hell knows when these movies or how these movies are going to be released?
I don't know.
What else you got?
Tom Hanks, according to reports and early talks, to play Geppetto in Disney's live action of Pinocchio. Robert Zemeckis, who directed Hanks and Forrest Gump, Polar Express, and Castaway, will helm that project. You know, Hanks is one of the few movie stars left, or one of the few actors, Mike, when he gets a role, it's always, that's a perfect role for Tom Hanks.
It does seem that way.
He's one of the few people, it's like, you know what? It's going to fit him like a glove. He's an American institution, no?
He is. And he had COVID and lived through it, my God.
Yeah. All right.
That's unbelievable. How about they tapped a new director for Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel 2, Nia DaCosta, a female, young African-American director.
I got a question for you. Why is Brie Larson doing car commercials?
I don't know. I guess their rent's due, Chuck. Remember, their rent's due.
Yeah. Interesting.
Also,
I just wanted to bring back the deal, going back to movie theaters, AMC and Universal cut a deal where when a movie plays at AMC from Universal, there's a 17-day window. Having said that, how can they – what's what I was thinking about, and then it could be released to streaming. But that means they'd have to get all the other theaters on board because you can't – if you got Cinemark and you got Regal and they say no to that deal, then they can't do it with Universal. So this is just the first in a series of chess moves that I think that – The studios will work out with theaters. Let's just say you have a movie like James Bond, and it plays 17 days in a movie theater. They have an option at that point to put it on streaming, but they also have an option to extend the 17 days, which I think mostly they'll do on big films. I think this deal will be cut, and I think the theaters somewhat will understand this will be done for more horror and more immediate budget, low budget type of.
Well, I think that's I like that.
Anyway, I don't think this will hurt the industry that much.
I like that plan though, because after 17 days, you're going to know whether a movie needs to be in theaters longer or not. So
I agree 100%. I do think it would be a good faith deal where I don't see the studios trying to railroad the theaters here. I don't. I just think they want a protection to say, hey, listen. We produce this movie for $20 million. It's basically, after 10 days, it's on gas fumes. let us recoup our money quickly. That's what I see here. Am I wrong?
No, that's probably the way we're heading, Chuck. There's no doubt about it. By the way, did you see the production still that Laura Dern sent out on Instagram of her chair next to Sam Neill's chair on the set of the new Jurassic World movie?
No, I did not.
It's pretty exciting. They're back reunited.
Well, that's good.
My daughter and I just rewatched The Lost World the other night. She hadn't seen it, actually, so she was pretty excited and actually loved the film.
Cool.
And you know what's sad is we actually sat down right after that to put on Jurassic Park 3, and I had to turn it off. It's just like I used to like that movie, but
I find it it's sort of like Chinese food. It's a quick meal. It's like an enjoyable little time killer. And it's not a bad movie. It's just
A TV movie to me. It just felt
It felt like a TV movie. I still like Sam Neill in it though.
Yeah. It's good to see him in it.
It has one of the quickest endings of all time, though.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. And interesting that Laura Dern would actually
sign on the helicopter at the end when Sam Neill puts on the fedora hat. And it's pretty cool. But I got to say that.
All right. Well, okay. How about Joey King going to get co-star with Brad Pitt in a new action movie called Bullet Train? Now, people might not.
You know, it's funny because we were bantering back the day before about Joey King. You said you saw on a Netflix.
Yeah, she's got the Kissing Booth 2 that came out.
Right, and I was telling you, I was flipping the channels, and I was watching White House Down and telling you that, it's sort of an enjoyable time killer. And then I watched the second half. I realized White House Down. First half is fine. Second half, it does get preposterous. I mean, Roland Emmerich takes that film into a parody territory.
Well, what else is new, right?
Yeah. I mean, but she's really appealing, and it appears she's going to have the fact that they signed her to co-star opposite Brad Pitt. I think she's playing assassin. She's 21 years old. It tells you the industry really thinks highly of her. She's going to have a really long career.
No doubt about it. What else you got?
Keanu Reeves reportedly going to film not only John Wick 4 but 5 back to back.
Oh boy,
that's probably a good strategy. And a story that I found really interesting. Lionsgate, Mike, is going to greenlight a new Dirty Dancing movie. It's going to star original star Jennifer Grey, so star and co-produce. They say that this film, the script they have, will have a huge nostalgic feeling, and the fan base will embrace it big time. Here's a problem, and I like Jennifer Grey, and I'm sure she'll do whatever they do here justice, but Patrick Swayze passed away 11 years ago. He's a huge, huge part of Dirty Dancing. How can you have a huge nostalgic feel if you don't have Patrick Swayze here? Tell me.
I don't know. He is the movie. I mean, all due respect to Baby, but he is that movie. That movie does not succeed without him in it. I can't see how one without him would succeed. It's just bottom line.
You're going to have another love interest for her.
I would suppose, unless they could somehow computer generate him, which isn't beyond the realm of possibility. But I just don't see it. Well, the whole idea is that they fall in love, live foreverly after, I mean, maybe they kill him off and she's got to find love again. I don't know. No, nor do I care.
Yeah,
I
gotta that's going to have to be the direction. I got one other thing, a bit that I find interesting here. Sony Pictures Productions TV is going to do a Who's the Boss sequel series. Tony Danza, 69, is going to come back along with Melissa Milano. That show, Mike, ran from 1984 to 92, 196 episodes. Listen to this. Back in the day, 33 million people a week were watching Who's the Boss.
Yeah, it was popular.
I got to tell you.
No, I'm sorry.
I find this stuff intriguing. I find this intriguing.
Well, this goes back to what we talked about with networks trying to find something to produce. Doing this kind of angle works. But did you say Alyssa Milano is actually going to be on it?
Yes.
Judith Light,
She will be the focal character on the show.
Oh, boy. So Judith Light in it at all, or we don't know that?
They're talking about that. The idea is to get the Melissa Milano character back living in the same house as the original. She bought the house. She's a single mom. Tony Danza, who is a father. Will have a major role on the show.
Now I bet you,
back, Mike.
Yes, but I bet you Danny Pintura was sitting on his couch and his eyes lit up. He's like, "Oh my God, I might be. Do I have work?"
"Hey, he's probably said, I thought Alex Winter was the only one who hit the lottery."
Exactly. We'll see what happens with that. I guess I'd watch it. I don't know. Tony Danza is an interesting career, no doubt about it. But Alyssa Milano is so polarizing right now as well, as yes, far as popularity.
You know, I think people, I honestly don't care. When I'm watching something, I don't care.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't either.
But John Voight's on a program. I like John Voight as an actress. I don't look at this. I don't care. Like, people have a right to say what they want. That's what makes America.
So when you saw James Woods in White House Down,
I'm fine with it. Yeah,
you're fine. And I thought it was more autobiographical than anything else when I see it now.
Well, that's fine. He's a little over the top as the villain in that one, but
you think? Oh, as the villain in that one, not in life. Okay, as the villain in that one. Chuck, you got anything else before we? I want to do a real quick fast five here before we wrap up.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go fast five.
Let's do a real good fast five here. No screwing around, right? Because we got a lot of big time names here that should be easy to do. Ready? Antonio Banderas.
I'm going to go with the first Zorro movie.
All right. That's very good.
I'm going to go with the first Zorro movie because he's really appealing in that. He's a really cool – I believe it or not, when he did the last Expendables movie, I thought he was a lot of fun in that movie, Mike.
Yeah, I thought he had it. I agree.
I think he's really good.
His character actually works in that movie. I'm going to go with Desperado, but also I did like him in Zorro. The guy's really good. He is. He's underrated. Sam Elliott.
Roadhouse, baby.
No way. Star is Born. Best role he's ever done. And I know you like that movie, The Hero, he did a couple years before that.
Yeah, I like that too. He's a cool dude, man.
Great, cool dude. Roadhouse, though.
I'm going to tell you something about Roadhouse. I remember seeing Roadhouse in the theater opening weekend, and I went back to see it again the same weekend. And the critics trashed that film. That's one of the coolest B-movies of all time.
Yeah, they got that wrong.
I just want to point out, like, off the top of my head, this is week is the 20 year anniversary of Coyote Ugly. I was texting you about Coyote Ugly, and I was telling you that Piper Perabo, I remember seeing that in the theater, and I saw that more than a couple times. Critics trash that movie. Also, Piper Perabo is as appealing as you get. That should have been a star-making performance. She should have been elevated. She did a TV show on USA, and she did a few Disney movies. But never as appealing as in Coyote Ugly. I wanted to point that out. Getting back to Sam Elliott.
He's not in Coyote Ugly.
He's so damn good in Roadhouse. He's so good. He plays off Patrick Swayze beautifully in that film as an aging bouncer, and he's just so cool in that movie.
Also cool in the movie Shakedown with Peter Weller, action movie from the 80s that everybody forgets.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. This one's easy because you talk about star making turns. There's no doubt about it. Melanie Griffith.
I mean, obviously, Working Girl. Yeah, I can go to. But you know what? I can tell you, I love Body Double. Brian De Palma's Body
Good
Double.
One.
Super cool movie.
And her small role in Nobody's Fool with Paul Newman. She's got some great scenes. Yeah. With him in that film, especially the one where she's sitting in the car.
So you weren't going to mention Milk Money. I think we went to see Milk Money together. Remember her at Harris?
Milk Money. Can they make a movie like that now where a kid hires a hooker to be the mom? I don't think they can make that movie now either. Could they?
Probably not.
Another easy one. Robert Shaw would have had a birthday this year. He would have been 95.
I'm going to tell you, I know Jaws is the easy pick.
Yes.
But how about some love for Taking Your Pelham 1, 2, 3?
Blue, yeah.
Oh, man. How good is that movie?
How about Doyle Lonergan in The Sting?
Of course. The guy was awesome.
Yeah, the guy was unbelievable. And he died, Chuck, he died at the age of 51.
I know that. He's also in The Deep.
He's also one of the henchmen from Russia with Love. He's a bad guy on Bond, too. The guy's great.
He's in Black Sunday, too, right?
What's that?
Black Sunday.
Black Sunday, what a fantastic movie. He's the action hero in that movie.
He's great. He's great. But I tell you, when you look at a movie like The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, and the remake's pretty good, but the original's a perfect film. Walter Matthau, who could do comic, who could do dramatic, and he does a little bit of a mixture. He throws some comedy into that role, too. Like, you know, tension relief,
yeah,
laughing.
Yeah.
Well, but that movie's a perfect film with one of the best twist endings of all time.
Yeah. I mean, they would cast it in 2020. The Rock.
And it's on Blu-ray. So for people who were listening to our show here and they've never seen Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 from the 70s, the quintessential New York City movie. Really is. I mean, it captures the time and a place in New York City that is, well, maybe we're going to get back there. Run down New York City. But boy, the photography, the subways, that's a great film.
And like I was going to say, if they cast Pelham 1-2-3 in 2020, The Rock would be Walter Matthau's role, and he'd pick the train up and throw it.
He would literally stand. He would stand on the third rail, not get electrocuted.
Exactly.
And have the train run into his chest, and the train would split in half.
Last, but certainly not least, because we could probably dedicate an entire show to him. I don't know if we have, but Dustin Hoffman is 83 years old this weekend, Chuck, and really one of the great actors of all time. Won 2 Oscars. It's hard to pick one, but I guess you go down to Tootsie and Rain Man would be the two that pop up in my head.
I'm going to go with Tootsie. Yeah, both of those movies are right there. I mean, obviously he became a star with The Graduate. He wasn't a kid in The Graduate. I think he's like 30 years old, playing like 20. You know, his role in Hook's a lot of fun. Captain Hook. I always have a soft spot for Hook.
How about...
He's not in Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, right? Did we bring up Beyond the Poseidon Adventure?
No, he's not in that. No, he passed that.
I'm thinking about doing a 41st anniversary celebration of Beyond the Poseidon Adventure at the Pocono Cinema. Are you going to be there?
No. All joking aside, though, I will want to bring up The Marathon Man, which he's fantastic in as well. And he's also good in his late 50s, early 60s as the action hero in a very relevant movie right now, an Outbreak, which he plays
out. I always thought that was really interesting casting.
Yeah. And it works. It absolutely works.
Yeah.
But really hasn't done much more, you know, that's really been eye-opening and out there.
You know, I tell you, when you watch Outbreak, and I watched it not too long ago because of COVID, and they dropped that bomb on that village and just eradicated.
Yeah.
Could that be the new norm eventually?
I wouldn't put it past this administration doing something like that.
Huh?
I wouldn't put it past this administration from doing something like that.
Remember 1985's Return of the Living Dead? They did that at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
They just blew a little town up to eradicate the zombie virus, right?
Yep. I mean, we can't do that because
it appears on film.
Unfortunately, it's worldwide, so we'd have to just pick up and move to another planet if we wanted to do something like that now, Chuck. That's our Fast Five. That's our show, our podcast. Now, if you're listening on WoWo 1190 107.5 FM, we're going to come back with a best of segment from one of our past shows, Chuck. It was good to get together again. I don't know when we'll do it again. I'd like to have movies come out. But
I'll
we'll see.
You next week. Hey, let's put it that
if,
way.
If anybody's wondering, Russell Crowe and Unhinged set for release August 21st, Chuck. Maybe that's the linchpin.
Let's see. If it is, we are booking it at the Pocono Cinema. So. Come on out to the Pocono Center. Listen, we want more than 3 people to show. Be nice to get 20. How about it? Listen,
wear a mask and get out there, and you'll be fine. Wear a mask, social distance. You should be able to do the things you want to do, people.
I think you could sit. Listen, I really feel strongly. You could sit in a movie theater 15 feet apart. Not 6. You could fit 6, 15 feet apart, and then wearing a mask, watch a movie. You could do it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that goes to, you could probably have 2,000 people in a baseball stadium and be safe.
I think you could.
I mean, I think you'd be okay.
2,000, you sure could.
Yeah. All right, Chuck, we'll do this again. Who knows when, but it was good to see you again, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Mike. See you next week.
Oh, how about that?
Thanks for listening to Movie Maniacs. Download one of our archived episodes. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.